With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Kurzman Podcast, where we will be discussing Richard Linklater's follow-up to his award-winning Boyhood, Everybody Wants Some, and also for the first time we're going to have an interview special guest with one of its stars, Tyler Hoechlin. Hi, I'm Sam Howlett, and as always I'm joined by Jenna.
Hello.
Hey Jenna, how you doing?
Yeah, good thanks, how are you?
Excellent, yeah, not bad. Well, we've just seen Everybody Wants Some.
We have.
So everything is bright and colourful.
and it's a good day.
It's a good day, yeah. This week we also have a competition exclusive for you podcast listeners, and that is a poster of Everybody Wants Some signed by Richard Linklater himself. Details for that are available on Twitter, so do follow at Curzon Cinemas to find out more about that competition. So Everybody Wants Some is set in the 1980s and it stars Blake Jenner as Jake, and it follows his first 3 days of college. He joins the college baseball team, and it's just very relaxed, no real plot, very sort of matter-of-fact, slice-of-life type film. Mm-hmm. They go to parties, they're obsessed with sex and alcohol. It's a kind of a bro comedy, like a frat bro comedy.
Yeah, but I think it's slightly more intelligent than that.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a great character study, and I think that's what Richard Linklater does so well in all of his films.
Yeah.
Great studies of people and just the way that you live your life at certain slots of time.
Yeah. I think you can tell he loves just having a good time. I think Richard Linklater.
Yeah.
I reckon if you speak to him, he's so chilled back and just like, yeah, he just wants to talk about life and stuff.
And have a good time.
Yeah, nothing's too serious, nothing's too much of a problem. It's just like, relax and take it easy. But I really felt like that watching the film.
Yeah.
It's just under 2 hours, I think, but...
Oh, the time flew by.
Yeah. I could have done with another hour.
Yeah,
I was so
definitely.
Just relaxed.
I just wanted to go to another party.
Yeah. Nothing happened that was too serious. You know, it was just... It's such a pleasure to be in that world. Mm-hmm. Right, yeah, so the film... It's very much a spiritual sequel, I think, to Dazed and Confused, which is a film Linklater made in the 90s, and that's set in the 70s, about the last day of high school. And that also has a huge cast of young characters who are just kind of figuring out their place in the world, mm-hmm. and there's no plot, and there's like groups within the group, certain people, you know, you know very little about everyone, but mm-hmm. then you recognise, like, after a few scenes, you know that he's the crazy guy, he's that kind of guy. But they're also more complex than that as well, and that's definitely on show here too. So who's your favourite character?
Oh, that's tough. I like them all for different reasons. I think I really liked Finn. He was great. He's almost the ringleader of the pack, but he's not the best ball player. Although, actually, you don't see that, but they're all good, obviously. But he's... kind of smart. He takes Jake under his wing and shows him the ropes of how to be a college guy and how things have changed now he's not in high school anymore. And he's got the gift of the gab. He's got more going on than just the baseball.
I think so, yeah. They're all more than just the jock, which is important. And they're all really likable.
They are.
Even one of my favourite was Jay Niles, who likes to refer to himself as a raw dog. He's insane. But he's also, you kind of... like him in the
Yeah, he's great fun. Everyone knows that kind of guy, though, don't they?
Yeah.
You go on a night out and you're like, oh,
fight anyone,
gonna do?
That kind of thing. Yeah.
But they, you know, those boys, they're there for him, and then they put him in his place and they say, go home.
Yeah. Well, one of them talks about is like tribe mentality. It's like, no matter what anyone does, you look out for them. And it was just really nice that all these guys, they're all obsessed with competition, and they mm-hmm. do get angry at each other, but ultimately they are a tribe, they're our
yeah,
pack.
Yeah, they're there for one another, yeah. And those bonds form so quickly. I mean, yeah. So half the team already know each other, but you kind of don't, like, then the freshmen come along, but you don't yeah. really distinguish between who's the freshman and who's the senior.
They're all in the same boat.
Yeah, they very quickly form friendships. And
absolutely.
I don't know how you feel, is that quite similar to how you found friendship as a guy?
I think so. It's kind of looking out for one another, that kind of thing.
Yeah, because for me it was so interesting to sort of like peer into that that testosterone-fueled life.
Yeah, I mean, I saw similarities with it between my mm-hmm. like first year of uni, but I mean, I wish mine was more like this, to be honest.
Don't we all?
Yeah. Okay, so I think it's time for an interview now. So Tyler Hoechlin, you may know him from Road to Perdition, mm-hmm. in which he played Tom Hanks' son, a great film. He's also in the TV adaptation of Teen Wolf. He played the lead in that. In this film, he plays McReynolds, who's, I guess, is kind of the alpha of the team.
Yeah, he's the star player, really, isn't he?
Star player. He seems like the sort of team captain as well, mm-hmm. but he's very much in charge.
Yes.
He comes across kind of rude at times.
Yeah.
Kind of brash.
But kind of see his character crack at different points, and he is a real guy underneath it. I think you often get the kind of leader of the jocks being like a not very nice guy, but I think, you know, he's got some good heart in there too.
Absolutely. So Jake Cunningham, our as of yet unheard boss.
Yeah. Big man's voice.
he met up with Hoechlin last week in London. So here's an interview. Enjoy.
So we are delighted to be joined on the Curzon Film Podcast by Tyler Hoechlin from Everybody Wants Some, Richard Linklater's new film. How are you doing today?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
Yeah, not bad. Is there anything that you're relieved that you've got today that you couldn't have had in 1980s Texas?
God, I don't know, man. I mean, I guess more great music to listen to. But there really was, it was funny. I think the one thing you miss is kind of, you know, cell phones and things like that. But, I kind of found that a relief, to be honest. You know, we kind of, a lot of sets, people have their phone with them, like at their chairs or something. You kind of check in between setups, and on this set, we kind of just left them in the trailers, and it was just, you know, whoever was with you is who you were with, and just a fun hang.
And so the film itself presents us with this group of men who, by their own admission, just want to have sex and get drunk.
Have a good time.
But the film itself, it manages to remain pretty inoffensive and doesn't marginalise anyone.
Yeah.
How do you think it achieves that?
I mean, honestly, I think people just kind of embrace the world that they're in when they watch the film. These guys kind of suck you in, and the camaraderie, and, you know, it's all in kind of good-natured fun, I think. And I think once you kind of allow yourself to settle into that for a minute with these guys, you kind of start to take on that perspective. And, you know, it's 1980, so things weren't so politically correct back then. And I think once you allow yourself to feel okay with that for more than, like, 5 minutes and kind of really kind of let it breathe, it becomes a little bit more, I don't know, I guess a little bit more innocent, and it's just kind of been good fun, so...
The film is very light on plot. You've just got this slice of life of this opening weekend for Jake and his housemates. If you had to define the story of it, what do you think it would be?
I mean, I think it's a story about going off into a group and, you know, a transitional point in your life when you're leaving home, and just what that experience is when you kind of really experience freedom for the first time. You know, you've been surrounded by parents and people kind of telling you what to believe in and how to act and how to behave, and then you're suddenly kind of thrown into this world of your own personal responsibility, and you can really become a different person. You know, that's kind of the thing I remember from going off to college, is your friends back home knew you as who you were growing up and up to that point in your life, and then when you go away to school, you're surrounded by people who've never met you before. They have no idea what you're about and what you like, and so you're exposed to so many new things, and it's kind of a refreshing idea that, like, oh wow, I can kind of, you know, maybe I was interested in this, but now this kind of seems appealing and I'm going to go down that way. So it's just an exciting time in life when you get to find out who you are and where you kind of truly fit in.
And a few of the guys try out a few different cliques over the weekend. So there's disco dancing, western, punks. Was there any of those that you would have tested out yourself when you were in college?
I definitely would have back then tested out the disco. I definitely enjoyed the disco, even though Rick told us we weren't allowed to like the disco too much. He kind of always said you would tolerate it, but it was really more about the girls. But I grew up in a place called Norco, which is deemed Horsetown, USA, back in California. So there was rodeo, there was a lot of line dancing and things like that. So I have to say that's the one I was the most familiar with of any of those.
And so when we actually get first introduced to your character, it's almost set up that you could be the antagonist of the piece.
Yeah.
But that really shifts as the film goes on. Could you talk about your character's journey throughout?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of something that, you know, kind of came up through the rehearsal process and, you know, workshopping the script and things like that. He really was kind of that antagonist, you know, originally. And it just got to a point where there was something really fun that happened in going through it, which was not just discovering your character personally and kind of deciding who they were going to be and what you thought they were, but for me anyway, it was watching the other guys kind of find their characters and watching them develop. Teams have a really interesting dynamic and they kind of have their own personality. And so for it to be a good team and the team that we kind of discussed these guys being on, there had to be a balance. And so as Justin Street, who plays Niles, kind of developed his character, that kind of informed me of some things that would have to be true about McReynolds. And one of them was being, you know, like a team leader who would step up and kind of stand up for the guys. And so that didn't necessarily exist as strongly originally, but it was just something that as we kind of found these guys and just developed these relationships just kind of came out. So
I mean, it's a trait that we're familiar with Richard's work, that there's a naturalistic tone to the dialogue.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
There was a lot of room to budge on the script.
Which is a lot of, we always say, like, we get asked a lot, you know, was there a lot of, you know, improv on set and things like that, and there wasn't a lot of improv on set. Every once in a while, somebody would kind of slip in, and it would work, and I can maybe recall a couple things in the film that, just kind of happened in the moment and ended up making it, which is a great testament to Rick and how much he trusts the people that he, works with in all different areas of the film, which is greatly, greatly appreciated. Just because you lose this sense of right and wrong, and so it's very creatively free and encouraging environment to be in. But it's a lot of workshopping, so we'd spend a lot of time in the rehearsal process kind of going through things and finding what worked and what didn't and just kind of developing and playing with it. So
Richard's previous film to this being Boyhood, if we were to follow your character Glenn for the next 12 years, what do you think would have happened to him?
Well, we kind of based him off of someone who actually does go on to play, you know, professional baseball and plays in the major leagues for a while. So I think he would have had a successful career. I think, to me, the interesting thing would have been, you know, at the end of it, I think at the end of the 12 years, you know, maybe leaving baseball. It's funny, a buddy of mine kind of mentioned this saying, which is like a dancer dies twice. And like that's kind of, it's kind of true for athletes as well, which is that you play the sport as a kid, and so it kind of becomes an identity in a way, to where when you're done with that, it's a weird transition, because most people kind of, they grow up and then you find what you want to do when you're in high school and college, and you kind of pursue that, as opposed to athletes, as a kid, that's what you do, and then that's kind of what you cling on to until someone says you can't do this anymore, and then once you do that, this identity is kind of taken away from you. So there's a struggle that goes along with transitioning out of that. So I think it would have been interesting to see the transition of going from, you know, playing pro sports and being so good at something to eventually getting older and inevitably somebody coming along and being better than you and kind of going down that road. So I think that's an interesting area to kind of explore.
And is there any characters in the film that you would really love to see what they were doing if they weren't doing baseball?
All of them.
Yeah.
I think all of them, yeah. I'd love to see these guys outside that world. I think we all kind of talk about it on a weekly basis, like where do we take these 12 guys outside of this world here?
And I think when you're watching the film, you can see that yourself and a lot of the actors are aged down. Do you think that's an issue, or do you think it plays into some of the themes of the film?
No, I think it plays in. Nothing stood out to me as distractingly out of place. But the relationships definitely, I think, worked out as far as, you know, the guys that were there as upperclassmen and kind of having that seniority and things like that. It was fun. And one of the cool things, you know, that I found out through shooting and through the press tour was with Blake, who plays the main character, Jake. is he had never gone to college. You know, he left high school and came straight out to California to pursue acting. And so this was kind of the experience that he didn't have going off to college. So I thought it was kind of like a cool thing of, you know, him being able to come in with that mindset of like still being new to this whole idea.
And so the film is set before you were born, and I'm sure many others.
Yeah.
But did you still come away with it with a sense of nostalgia? Because I know I did. Even though
Because I think the time is obviously the setting and it's the place. It's where you're supposed to feel like you are. But the experience is not a lot different. You know, I think that's one of the things that Rick said at the beginning, which was great to hear. Was, you know, the more things change, the more they stay the same. So, you know, going off and having that experience in your life of going to college, of, you know, being on a team, of being surrounded by peers, all that, no matter what time it is, you know, the music might be different, or, you know, you might be wearing a different outfit. The external things change a lot, but the experience and the relationships tend to stay pretty familiar.
And people will often say that a film that looks like it was a lot of fun was actually the worst set to be on.
Yeah.
So I've got to imagine you guys had an awful time.
Horrible time. Yeah, this was one of those exceptions to the rule, for sure. We genuinely have a text chain that goes off about on a daily basis, and we just had, it was a blast, man, honestly. I mean, it's hard to differentiate, I think, if we had more fun off the screen or like what you actually see in the film. So they're both pretty high up there.
And the film looks at the identity of the person that you are or might become at college or university. Did you find yourself or any of your colleagues actually changing and identifying any changes within yourself or your experience whilst you were filming?
Yeah, I mean, I think all of us kind of, you know, we're going through things or went through things afterwards. I think people are constantly changing. You're constantly discovering new things and having new thoughts and pursuing, you know, different ideas. But I think it was just, you know, it was great to be surrounded by a group of peers that you could go through that together. And it's not often now, especially in this business, that you're surrounded by that many people that are kind of in the same place that you are, to where you can constantly have this dialogue of what's going on and things like that. So it was just it was a great environment to be in for that amount of time.
And I've read that you actually ended up doing some dancing lessons.
We did 3 weeks dance rehearsal. Yeah,
3 weeks.
Yeah, all through the rehearsal process. Yeah.
Intensive.
Pretty good. Yeah, about an hour a day, enough to keep us in shape, which was good.
And did you feel like you missed out by not taking part in the Rapper's Delight car scene?
Yes. I think we all felt jealous of the guys that were in that scene. It was good fun, and definitely you can kind of see it in the film. Those guys definitely didn't have a bad day of work that day.
No, I think it's a song that everyone accidentally realized they know every single line.
100%. Yeah, it just kind of comes up, and you're like, oh well, actually, I know the lyrics to this, and I don't know why, but it's just kind of ingrained in the back of your mind.
I'm hoping for a director's cut with the whole 14-minute version.
Oh my god, I know. I would love to see it. If we don't have it already, we're going to go back and do it.
And so, Richard, he said that we're all living more character-driven lives than plot-driven lives.
Yeah.
And that's very reflective in the film. And how does that affect you as an actor when you know you're more working around your character than the story?
Personally, I love it. I think it's something that I would like to do throughout my career, which is focus on things that are more character driven. I just find it more interesting. I think, you know, obviously plot is necessary for a lot of things, but at the end of the day, that it becomes at least a lot of exposition and things like that, and it's just kind of, you're just kind of explaining things throughout the process, and then something happens and then you react to it. I find it much more interesting to just kind of see how people are relating and what they're going through. Even with Boyhood, I found myself in that mindset, and I loved it at the end of it, because you go through it and I'm sitting there kind of expecting every time they're in the car, okay, well, here's the car crash. Or when they're throwing the blade into the wall, okay, well, here's where someone walks in front and loses.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional.
Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
There's a hand or something, and that you kind of just, films to me, I think, have kind of, there's been so many of them that it's kind of led you to just expect those things. And so I really enjoy when things like that don't happen, because it kind of makes you realize, like, oh yeah, like, it's not always this massive tragic event that happens in life that kind of changes something. It's in Boyhood, it's a conversation, like one thing that was said that you just kind of hit you a certain way and stays with you for the rest of your life. So I tend to find that more interesting. I mean, I love great action movies, fun thrillers, and things like that that are plot driven. But I think people and characters are interesting enough on their own sometimes that you can just kind of follow them for a while.
And the film is a spiritual sequel to Dazed and Confused.
Yeah.
If your two groups of characters were to meet, who would you most like to be bumping into?
Oh God. I'm gonna go ahead and I guess I'm gonna say the girls. I'm gonna say Parker Posey and that whole crew. I would imagine the guys would like to hang out with the most.
Yeah, well, I mean, Everybody Wants Him is definitely more of a male film.
Yeah. There's a couple guys in this movie. There's a few.
And well, I think that's everything. So thanks a lot, Tyler Hecklin, for joining us on the Curzon podcast.
Okay, so that sounds like a lot of fun. Hecklin sounds like a cool guy.
God, they sound like they had the best time on that show. I just wish I could have been part of it.
That's quite true what Jake was saying, that often you hear all these films like that are amazing pieces of work, and yet they had the worst time on set.
Yeah.
And I like to think that all of Richard Linklater's films weren't like that at all.
They're all just best pals. Yeah. He was saying they're like texting each other all the time. Great.
Yeah. and I like what he said in the interview there, that the film is very good-natured, and mm-hmm. very fun, sort of quite inoffensive, even though there is kind of lad humour in the film.
Yeah.
Kind of bro through, like frat bro, they're kind of like, they talk about girls in not the most respectful way.
But then I don't think it ever crosses that line.
No.
There was a time at the beginning of the film where I was worrying.
Yeah.
I was seeing lots of shots of bums and legs, not very many faces.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, how is this film going to portray women? Because obviously it's a film about male relationships and a baseball team, and that's all great. And it's really interesting to see that on film. But you don't want the women in the film to kind of suffer as bit parts. And I don't think Richard Linklater falls into that trap this time.
No, not at all. No, I think that, as he said in the interview, that the 80s weren't necessarily the most politically correct time.
Yeah.
And that's just how it was back then. But I don't think it's ever nasty.
No,
films
not at all.
Films can't, like, I don't know, maybe like especially The Hangover 2, I think is quite nasty.
Towards women?
Towards women and just everyone, apart from white men.
Yeah.
Whereas this, they are kind of, some of them are idiots, but they're nice, you know what I mean?
Yeah, they're nice idiots. I think they kind of, they give each other some grief about stuff, but actually, you never see them behave badly towards one of the girls they're interested in at all.
No, it's very respectful. And even you were talking about Finn, who's kind of all a bit of a ladies' man,
with
the girl, but he talks about, he respects women at some point as well. He talks to them on kind of like,
They're interested in.
Yeah.
He kind of,
and that could, in some writers and directors may have played that as leery, mm-hmm. and like he's just a chameleon, like he doesn't mind, he would just lie to women just to get in bed with them. But it seemed here like a genuine, he likes to be nice to women and to talk to them.
Find out about them.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think he also is quite a chameleon character in general. He goes from they go from the disco scene to the kind of country club and the cowboy music.
And the punk rock.
Yeah.
He loves it.
Was a little bit when I thought, well, maybe the film could turn at this point and like something bad's going to happen when Jake meets his old high school friend.
And they're going to like him.
And they're not going to like him because he's not part of their gang and they're elitist, but not at all.
I thought that as well. There was also another bit where Jake meets a girl and says to the team, like, oh, I'm going to her party tonight. Mm-hmm. And they're a bit like, oh, so we're not invited. And I kind of thought, oh, no, this is going to be they're going to accuse him of abandoning the team.
Yeah, but then they're going to trash the party. Yeah. They're going to ruin it.
I was like, oh, God, this is going to be really embarrassing for everyone. But it's not. It just works so well.
And I think that's because it's more like real life, you know? People don't do that to each other in real life.
Life isn't that dramatic,
it's not, people go and they have a good time and maybe something happens and one of your teammates kicks off, but you deal with it and you move on. Yeah. It's not game-changing.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah. And that's what's really nice about Richard Linklater's films, and especially this film, I think, because it's realism, mm-hmm. but not, like, harsh realism.
Yeah.
Because for us and a lot of people listening, life isn't that. It's just nice and you just go with mm-hmm. it, and that's what his films do.
Yeah, yeah. But also they're kind of... Well, this film is slightly over the top in how fun it is. I mean, I think every college person's going to have that experience, the, like, endless parties, the all of that. Yeah. But it's great to dip into that.
Yeah, and aesthetically as well, it's so colourful.
Oh, my goodness,
And I've never seen that much colour, like, ever before.
Well, yeah, I mean, they go to a theatre party, and I said to you, that's exactly what mine was like, where they're, like, throwing glitter and there's lights everywhere.
And there's,
I mean,
performance arts going on,
I wish I was had that university experience.
It's funny that... There's a really strong feel of nostalgia, even though, well, I'm not sure about you, but none of us were around in the 80s.
No, I was not around in the 80s, Sam.
But yeah, there's this feeling that just the life is a cycle. And like what people felt back then, they feel now. Mm-hmm. The same with Dazed and Confused, that in the 70s, the same relationships happening but do now. And I think that's really nice to see.
Yeah, people are kind of constant in their emotions and the way they deal with things and each other and friendship. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. So we mentioned there a couple of our favourite characters. We've mentioned Jake, Finn, Raw Dog. I really loved Buta as well, who's the kind of...
He's the kind of country guy,
isn't he? Country guy, yeah.
He doesn't quite fit in with the rest of the team, and they pick on him.
That's what you do at uni.
Yeah,
very quickly. As soon as you notice something about someone, you pick it up and you just blow it way out of proportion.
So they give him a fake name to the point where I can't even remember what he said his real name was.
They call him Buta Perkins. I don't know what his real name is.
And he hates it.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was a great character, and who dips in and out. Through the film.
Yeah, and there's always the guy as well who's got a very serious girlfriend and is always on the phone to her.
Also,
I love Brumley. He's the guy with the big curly hair and
the tiny little moustache.
What is that on your lip? Yeah.
And I think that's the thing, is that they all kind of sort of joss each other and take the mick and stuff, but it never gets nasty.
No.
You never see anyone who genuinely feels bullied or who feels like they can't cope with what they're being given. They all kind of give as good as they get, and it's part of the fun.
Absolutely, yeah. I also love Willoughby, played by Wyatt Russell.
Mm-hmm.
Just the complete stoner, just...
Yeah.
And I love it that he's recorded every single Twilight Zone episode. And he's got them in stacks in his room.
They have it. There's a really hilarious scene where they sort of discuss an episode of the Twilight Zone. Which doesn't...
While smoking a bong.
Yeah. And again, it's that thing with Richard Linklater. You know, not all of these conversations move the plot along or anything like that. But they get you into these characters and their lives. And
it's great. If people talk about things like Game of Thrones, it's been, great world building.
Yeah.
Whereas I think... But films like this... are often not recognised as that because it's real life. But then he is building a world, and I think he does that better than anyone. Just building a kind of world that you don't even think about as a fictional world because it feels so real.
Yes, 100%.
So there's music is very important in the film. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the title is based on a song. Just like it opens with My Sharona playing.
Watching.
He's driving his Cadillac.
Yeah.
And you've also got Rapper's Delight, which is one of the great, the best scenes,
I think.
Oh, wow.
That was so funny. They're all in the car. Yeah. You've only just met everyone. You've kind of got people's names. And off they go, rapping along. Amazing.
It's like the opening of Wayne's World when they sing Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great. And also, you keep thinking, oh, it's going to cut now. And
they
go again.
It goes on for so long, there's just like Shake Your Groove thing, Heart of Glass. Heart of Glass.
Yeah, great songs. Yeah. The soundtrack just keeps you on that high the whole way through.
I think as well, because often great movie soundtracks are ones where they're not that famous songs.
Yeah.
These are all like really...
Real classic.
Standard 80s songs.
Yeah, songs I remember my dad playing to me in the car when I was growing up.
And I think that sometimes you think in a film, God, that's such a lazy, obvious choice. But here it just works so perfectly.
Yeah, it does. And it builds the decade
around
it.
Yeah, because that's what people did listen to.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've read in a couple of reviews that people talked that the film has a kind of a camp quality to it.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's that kind of bros together, bit of the loving.
But also, the aesthetically, they've all got their like little moustaches, and wearing really short shorts, or the clothes are very tight.
Yeah, I think that was the era. It kind of has a bit of a 70s sort of hangover. It makes me think it's early 80s.
I was going to say, I think it's early 80s. It's kind of just the blend.
Yeah, like between the two. No mullets yet.
Yeah, the two jackets are just slowly merging from one to the other.
There's a really hilarious scene where they're like combing their moustaches and trimming them.
Yeah, the hair dryer with the comb.
It felt quite metrosexual in that way.
Because they were very, not obsessed, but very concerned about their appearance.
Oh, yeah.
They weren't like too macho to care about that.
They really cared about how they look. There's a really funny scene where one of the guys is talking about how great his bum is.
I loved it as well. When they just leave the sort of the disco party, and they're about to go to a Western one. They're like, well, we've all got to change. I just love the idea that these big group of guys have to change.
And they care that much. And there's another little funny bit where they're like, untuck your shirt. God.
Definitely. Okay, so we're now going to move into spoiler territory. So just talk about sort of the last few moments of the film. But before we do, is there any final thoughts you have on the film?
It's just so much fun. Yeah. And it's a wonderful study of people.
Yeah.
And I just love Richard Linklater's films for doing that.
Yeah. I think as well, like, usually people think of, oh, it's a rainy day, let's watch a film. See it on a sunny day.
Yeah.
It's not too long. Go in the morning, and then you come out and you've got the sunshine there, but also you're in such a good mood.
Yeah. It really sets you up for a great day of fun.
Yeah.
Definitely. It's a good mood film. Mood beast.
Absolutely. Okay. So, one of the weird plot turns is that Willoughby is actually 30.
Yeah,
that's the one thing I think that doesn't quite feel real. Doesn't quite ring true, but it was funny.
It was very funny. And also, I think it led to one of the more like serious conversations in the film of actually what is there after this college time? What are we going to do next?
I think that's throughout the whole film.
Yeah, and I think, you know, they're kind of right at the beginning of that phase. They're, like, not quite 20 yet, and, you know, you can't see the end of college because it's about to be the first day.
Yeah.
But for Willoughby, he's gone out there and he realised he can't play ball anymore, and he's got to find a way back
in. He's just in a weird cycle of going back and keep doing uni until he gets caught and then does it again.
Yeah, and I think that's quite interesting. I think a lot of people find when they finish university kind of at that 23-ish kind of age, that phase of my life is done, and what do I do next? And it's very, really interesting.
That's what I think differentiates this from other sort of frat bro films, where like this film asks those kind of big questions.
Yeah,
like,
it really has a heart.
This is limited.
Mm-hmm.
This stage of your life, it doesn't last forever.
Enjoy it while you can.
Yeah, that kind of thing. Everybody wants some. Everybody wants to just do the whole party thing, but ultimately that will end.
Yeah, I mean, the tagline of the film and something that Willoughby says in it is, we're here for a good time, not for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So it's a kind of seize the day film, isn't it?
It is a seize the day film, absolutely. Carpe diem. The film, so in the beginning they try and chat up these two girls.
Yeah.
One of which, and it doesn't work, but the girl sort of leans in and says, I like the quiet guy in the back, who's Jake. And they drive off, and it's kind of forgotten about a bit, but he sort of lingers, watches the room she goes in, and later in the film he gives her ties her flowers and a note to her door, and they meet up at the end of the party. And that's kind of a mini through line of the film.
Yeah, but you don't know that's going to happen again. You kind of think, oh, he's done with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like it's going to be picked up, but it was really great that it was.
Yeah, and it's picked up well, and it rings true.
Yeah, and he takes the flowers to her door. It's so sweet.
Yeah, it was sweet, yeah. There was one bit where, they spend the night together and then they sort of split up and go to the... And I thought the film was going to end there. And I was like, I don't want it to.
Because you don't want to end it with that boy-girl thing.
Yeah, I was thinking I care more about the baseball team.
It's a film about friendship, isn't it?
Yeah, rather than romance. Mm-hmm. And as nice as the romance is and it's presented very well, I don't even think they have sex in the end.
Well, I mean, you don't know. I think that's another thing we were saying about how it is quite respectful to women in the sense that he doesn't go to his mates, happened, or whatever. Yeah. He just says, I'm not
lying. I like her.
I like her.
All he says is, I like her, And then they take them to be like, oh, he likes her.
And it's great that you see those boys come back.
I was so happy when they showed up. I was like, yes, that's perfect.
And it was just such a show of their friendship that you could tell they were really pleased for
him.
They
are pleased for him. Yeah. They do care that he likes her.
Yeah.
They're quite happy for him. It's a really nice moment. And then they go to, he goes to his class with one of his other teammates and they just fall asleep.
The final shot.
Yeah, the final shot is them asleep.
And there's this really profound quote on the board, yeah. And then you just look
what
at them
was
and they're
the
like,
quote? It was,
oh, it's something about being on the frontier or something like that.
Yeah, there are like, you choose your own frontiers or
that's
something
it.
Along those
yeah,
lines.
Yeah, yeah. And their kind of boys are like, this is it, this is college, yeah. Here we are.
And then they
asleep.
Just go, yeah.
And I think it shows you that, yes, although throughout university, throughout college, yeah. The learning is really important, but it's also about just, finding yeah. Yourself as an adult in this yeah. World and forming
absolutely.
Those friendships.
Yeah. Yeah, I just love it. This is the one of the a massively profound quote that you have to read. Like, we, before we started, we're talking about where is that from, what does that mean? And neither of us could figure out
yeah.
What that means. And in this as well, like, you're not supposed to figure out what it means.
Exactly.
Just relax.
Just relax.
Take it
just
easy.
Enjoy
yeah.
The ride.
It's fine. You'll figure it out later.
Yeah. <kind of> I think, yeah, that is kind of tone in the movie. Enjoy life yeah. While you've got it and work out what it means later.
Yeah. I think the ending is kind of like Boyhood,
mm-hmm.
Where they go to the sort of big park, don't they?
In Boyhood, yes.
Yeah, and
yeah.
He sits with the girl. And the ending's kind of like, you sort of make of life what you will.
Yeah, and it almost feels like it could have picked up from Boyhood.
Exactly, yeah. That's
his first week of college. He meets a girl, and this is kind of where Jake goes from.
Yeah.
He meets this girl in the first few frames
yeah.
Of the film, and
yeah,
yeah, how the story goes.
Yeah, I think it's far more positive than Boyhood. Boyhood, as sort of life-affirming as it mm-hmm. Is, does have its darker moments.
Yeah, definitely. But I suppose Boyhood has such a long journey.
Yeah.
Well, that's the start
yeah.
Of the film.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, life isn't all roses.
Yeah.
But that first weekend of college is.
I mean, Boyhood is the more ambitious film here.
Mm.
And probably the more impressive film. But I think I just preferred this.
Did you?
Yeah.
I mean, Boyhood is one of my favourite films.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
A lot of people love
it.
I've only seen it once, so I do
yeah.
Need to revisit Boyhood.
You should, you
yeah.
Should. I mean, I think it was robbed at the Oscars, but
absolutely,
that's by the way.
Yeah. Like, Boyhood is the film that didn't win.
Yeah.
Like, well, Shawshank Redemption is the film that didn't win an Oscar.
Yeah.
This is definitely one of the, yeah.
But it's an incredible film, and I did feel like it was almost a pick-up from there on.
Yeah, well, Linklater has said, as much as it is a sort of spiritual sequel to Dazed and Confused, it also could easily fit in with Boyhood. Just the kind of, no real plot, just
yeah,
just following these people's lives.
Just a study
yeah.
of people. And yeah, and Linklater does it so well.
Yeah, absolutely. So any final thoughts before we end the show?
Final thoughts. It is the best feel-good film I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, it's a summer film.
It is a summer
and
film.
And I can't remember the last time we had a summer film like this.
Yeah, and it's
that's
great.
Not a blockbuster
yeah.
Or something.
It's great that it's come out in the summer because this can be a
yeah.
Time when you don't, because everyone gears up for the Oscars and they put all their films out in that September period.
And then after that, it's just blockbusters and
yeah, whatever. And it's great to get a film of this amazing quality. Actually, we've had a string of amazing films recently.
Yeah.
But
this kind of just so easygoing one.
Yeah.
It's not trying too hard
no,
and you don't
not.
Have to. It's not like Son of Saul last week. You really have to go in there prepared and
mm-hmm.
You think about a lot of stuff. Whereas
yeah.
This, you just... I know we have said that there are moments of slight philosophical questions,
mm-hmm.
Like what do you do in life? But then that's not important. What's important is just enjoying these 3 days with these
exactly.
Ridiculous people.
And it's so uplifting.
Yeah.
Almost you could see one of the darker films and go into this one
yeah,
and be reaffirmed that
okay,
life is
yeah,
good.
Life
people
can
are
be
fun.
Okay.
Yeah,
yeah. Take it easy. It's okay.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, thank you very much for listening. Just a quick reminder that if you do want a chance of winning the signed poster of Everybody Wants Some by Richard Linklater, you have to go on Twitter and follow at Curzon Cinemas to find out more information. So, thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you next week.
See Bye. You soon. Bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned, We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.